Hello there, this is Dave Allen for Good and Geeky, and today we're going to have a look at privacy, security and anonymity. It's even more important to have good security if you're taking part in the protests for Black Lives Matter. And I've seen loads of video where the police in the US are completely brutal. They don their protective gear and they're quite happy to go out there and bash people's heads with their batons, bash their legs with batons, spray pepper spray all over people and basically be really bad. No one can fight back either because they all have guns, which they're also likely to use. There was a young fella recently who had a hammer on him. I don't know what he got the hammer for, but the cop thought it was a gun and he shot him to death. So just be careful out there. I think the police are making a huge mistake and will have a more difficult job policing in the future with their present policing attitude. Attacking people, exercising their right to protest peacefully is not on, and protesters have got to up their game. This can start by protecting the data on the mobile phones in case you get arrested. The police will take your phone off you and will get inside looking for information to incriminate you and anyone else connected to you. So first off, turn off the biometric entry to your device. Don't use fingerprint or face recognition technology to unlock your phone. Then have a good password, which they can't get past. I recommend a long password made up of words with a special character in between if you can. Depends how long the password is available to you to use on the devices. Use an alphanumeric one. Don't just have a set of numbers and don't have it something like let me in or 123456. Have a good password. So let's have a look at methods of communication available, starting with email. If you've been following my website, goodandgeeky.com, you'll know I'm committed to communication by secure, private and possibly anonymous means. I don't approve of using email for communications unless it's encrypted. Sometimes you can't get around it with email communication because someone has to send you an email for one reason or other, or you've got to reply with an email, but there are ways to protect your data. So, I mean, someone can send you an email and it's not encrypted, so what do you do? How do you send a communication back to them and still keep things private? Do you have to resort to sending unencrypted back to them, or is there a way around to make sure that you can get back to them, send it encrypted, in a way that they'll be able to decrypt it and get into it and it's safe in the middle where it's not going to be attacked by a man in the middle? And what we're looking for is end-to-end encryption. Why haven't we got this with email already? It's ridiculous. Anyway, let's have a look at email some more. There are a number of options and depends upon the contents of the email and with whom you are communicating as to what you can do to remedy the situation. If the email sent to you is safe and does not contain any personal information, you could reply with unencrypted email if you wanted to. You just had to do it quickly and you wanted to get something back. So it was just a quick, simple answer with yes or no or whatever else, and it wasn't going to give the game away for any sensitive information. If you need to reply with some personal information, then it's going to be a good idea to encourage the recipient, your contact, to start using encryption. And again, we have options how we can do that. Number one, we could encrypt the reply using something like Paranoia Text Encryption. This is a really good application I really like. There are versions of it for all of the platforms, including a web browser version. So if someone doesn't want to download software or install software, they can still go onto the web and get the information that way. Perhaps not quite as safe as using an app, but you know, it's possible. So what you would do is you'd phone them up and you'd tell them the password, because you have to put a password on there so that they can get into it. And let's assume that you know their voice and you're confident their phone number is correct and so on, that you are talking to the right person. Paranoia Text Encryption is good because there's a web version and the contact doesn't have to install any software. You could encrypt the reply using an application like Encrypto. Encrypto encrypts documents. So create your reply in whichever application you want to use, Pages, spreadsheet software or whatever else. It could even be a picture, whatever. And then encrypt the end result. Send the document in the reply email and your contact will have to install Encrypto to decrypt it. And you'll have to send the password by encrypted means again. So go on to some end-to-end encrypted messaging service or ring them up and tell them over the telephone. Or tell them something like, remember that bar we went into? Well, that name of the bar is the password to get into this message. That's one way of doing it. So other possibilities. Number three, reply to your contact with a messaging service which has end-to-end encryption. This is what I really recommend, is to stop using email altogether and start using messaging services with end-to-end encryption. There's Session, Signal, WhatsApp, Threema, Telegram, Wire, Dust, WikiMe, Confide and others that you can use. And you can put whatever you like into any of these messaging services and know that it's not going to be disclosing its contents to a man-in-the-middle attack as it passes through the internet. Not the same as with email. Email will tell the world what's going on because anyone can look at it on the way. It's the same as sending a postcard if you're using an email. You don't send your bank details on a postcard through the thing because, you know, if you put it in the postbox, the man at the post office can read it. And it can be read as it goes through the post office system. And then when it's coming back to, or it's going to whoever's door is, the postman who's looking at it will read the postcard and see whatever's on there. So you don't put your bank details onto a postcard. So why would you put information that sensitive into an email? Anyway, I'm digressing and I'm sort of telling you more about email and why I don't like it. So don't use it. That's a good thing to do, is to use a good application. And I'll go a bit more into the details of which application I think you should use, the best one out there, in a short while. So another possibility with sending information and you want to go through, you still got to go through email, is you can go for a belt and braces approach. If you are really paranoid, what you can do is you can double up on the encryption you use. You could encrypt the text using Paranoia Text Encryption app before putting it either into either a document you encrypt with Encrypto or into an email encrypted with PGP or GPG. GPG is the open source version of PGP, or sending it via the application through end encryption. So that's another way of doing it. So you can encrypt it, and then you can still put it into an end-to-end encrypted messaging service, and then you'll be doubled up and make sure that no one can get into it. Most of the time that would be over the top, and perhaps you might just want to do that with the extra sensitive information. But in any case, I recommend encrypting everything. Don't send anything across the internet without encrypting it first. So number five, here's another possibility. If you're using Gmail, you can make use of Flowcrypt. This is a plugin you can use to add PGP encryption to your Gmail account. If you have Flowcrypt set up correctly, you can use a web page that they give you for people to send you encrypted emails to your account. If that contact is also using Gmail, I suggest you encourage them to also set up a Flowcrypt account because it makes things nice and easy. You can be using encrypted messaging through email by using Flowcrypt on Gmail, and it works well. I've tried it, I like it, and I've also actually tried out the version of it which goes on an iOS device as well. It wasn't working so well when I first got that one, but now it's working better. Okay, let's go back to the problems of using email. So one of the problems with using email, the fact that it is so insecure, is that when you send an encrypted email to somebody, they might want to reply to you. And if they put the body of your mail back into their reply, unencrypted, within the text, what's the point of that? You send something in encrypted and protected, and they send you something back, that same information, but it's unencrypted. So that's a bit ridiculous, that's a bit silly. So that's the whole thing with email. It's just not meant for this time and age, is it? It should be sort of put to one side and got rid of. We should be using something else. So the person receiving the encrypted mail would certainly know that it was encrypted. So it's just stupidity or ignorance with them replying in that way. So you'd need to sort of do a bit of teaching there and sort of castigate them, tell them off, or shout at them even. But if you're going to continue sending emails to that person, you'd have to work some way of sending information and receiving information from them securely. So the person you've just sent that encrypted email to and they replied to with you with unencrypted, if you are going to keep sending information to them, you have to find another way of doing it so that you can sort of get past their silly ways of working. So one way to do this would be, instead of encrypting the text within an email, but encrypt the text into a document. And then at least if they're going to take the information that's in the document, they've got to do at least a copy and paste to put it back into the email. It's not going to be as simple as when they click on reply, their email software just automatically puts the encrypted or the sensitive information back into the email to send it back to you unencrypted. So put it in a document, have the document encrypted, and that's one way of doing it. At least it sort of puts a little bit of a barrier in between the process. Like I said, you might have to resort to telling another person off, having words with them and insisting that they follow some basic privacy rules. Maybe you also need this little chat. Maybe you'll need to give them a bit of a slap. Maybe you'll need to change to a different method of communication. Tell that contact you will only communicate with them using end-to-end messaging services. No, I'm not sending you any more emails. It's it. You've messed me up too many times now. You've put information of mine into the internet, into the interwebs, and you put it out there for everyone to read. And I've had to go around and I've had to sort of change all the data and protect it all again, or change password or whatever the data was that's been unprotected. I've had to go and sort of make it secure, and you've messed things up. So right from now on, if you send me an email, I'm not going to send an email back to you. You're going to have to get this messaging service, or I will not contact with you. This is what you're going to have to do. So you have to wonder why it is that people still persist using email. Is it a lack of knowledge and ignorance of how email is so insecure? Maybe the majority of people still don't recognise or realise that there are dangers in communicating online. There are many people who would say, I don't have anything worth stealing in my information. These people don't realise there is software gathering much of this information and putting it together into one lump, one sort of coherent sort of useful bit of information. Perhaps in one email they find out what your date of birth is, and another email they find out where you live, or the name of your dog, or the street on which you grew up in. These are the sort of questions that the security questions that accounts ask for when they're asking you to protect your data. So, and once they've got enough data points, they can access your email accounts and then use that to attack everything else. Because that's the other thing. With email, a lot of places, what they do is they say, well, if you want to sort of get into this account, you have to use your email address, and then you have to verify your account with through email. And so there's still going to be some need for email, but let's just not put any good data in there. Let's not put any sort of information that people can use. Oh, and by the way, if you're using email, an email service, and you're not using two-factor authentication, why not? Start using two-factor authentication. Protect it properly. It is a little bit more difficult. You do have to start using an application to give you that six-digit code to put in, which only lasts for 30 seconds. But at least if someone does have your password, it means that they're, unless they're standing right next to you, they can't get into it because they don't have your one-time password. And if you do have a password, store it in a password manager. I use 1Password. This is the best one out there, I think. There are other ones which probably is just as good, but 1Password works well for me. And I also use 1Password for looking after the two-factor authentication password as well. It's just nice to have it all in one place. But I have some accounts where I use an application called Authy. And Google have one called Authenticator. So whichever one you set it up, use two-factor authentication. You've got three possibilities there for giving you the one-time password, so no one else can get into your account. Okay, so choosing a good end-to-end encrypting messaging service. Now, when I first started looking at these messaging services, I didn't find one that was absolutely perfect. There are a number of things to consider. Does the service encrypt end-to-end by default? Does it offer verification so you know who it is you're talking to? Can you have disappearing messages so you can choose for a message to automatically vanish after a number of seconds or to stick around for as long as a week? Can you sign up for the messaging service anonymously so you don't have to give your phone number or your email address to these people? Can you communicate safely within groups? Could your data be divulged to law enforcement if the messaging service company was given a legal request? Could they be forced to hand over data? Is the metadata protected within your message? So metadata is talking about location, things that could be sort of information connected within a with a picture, for instance. It could give camera information, it could give location, date and time of when it was taken and so on. Will a messaging service that you want to use, will it strip that data out and protect that type of information as well? An important consideration, I think, also is the application free? And if so, why is it free? Okay. If the application is something which has to be paid for, it could be difficult to persuade your contacts to use. So you're stuck again, well, what are we going to do then if you won't use this application because it's a paid-for application? Either you have to buy the application for them, and they still might not want to use it because they don't like installing software on their devices for whatever reason, even if it's free, or even if you're going to buy it for them. So just look for applications that are free if possible, and then ask why those applications are free, because we don't want a situation like where you're not a customer of Google, you're not a customer of Facebook, you are the product. So you don't want to be a product, you want to be something where you're still protected. So look for an application where you are the customer. So here's my process in choosing my preferred end-to-end encrypted messaging service. This is how I went about it. I use the Messages app, which is part of the Apple universe, and this is end-to-end encrypted and has the benefits of connecting well to all the other applications and devices. There's no extra cost to using it, and overall I trust Apple and their privacy policy. The two things that are against it would be that it's only for Apple users, and I do have friends who have Android devices. The other downside, or Windows users they could be, the other downside would be the backup system. If your backups to iCloud are not encrypted, Apple could have to legally give over information if they were forced to by a government organisation and the legal process. So if you don't backup to iCloud, that wouldn't be an issue, but you know, there's no reason why you shouldn't use Messages, but if you do use Messages, don't backup to iCloud unless you've got encrypted backups, or just backup not to iCloud but backup to your computer and make sure that's encrypted. Now, WhatsApp is a popular encryption service with end-to-end encryption. I don't mind using this with friends who are users of WhatsApp. I don't think it's necessary to persuade them to change to something more secure. And by more secure, I mean an application which is not owned by Facebook. Facebook has enough black marks against them with regards how they've used, abused and leaked customers' information. And for this reason, I wouldn't fully trust WhatsApp. But for the moment, it's end-to-end encrypted. And at the present moment, it's okay to use. If you can get someone to use a different application that you're happier with security wise, then do so. But if not, you could use WhatsApp and you'll probably be okay for most of your information. If it was something extra secure, then I'd think you're using something else. Now, the next one on my list was Telegram. Now, this is a fairly good secure messaging service. I like it. The two things I have against is the fact that you need a telephone number to sign up, and full end-to-end encryption is not the default. You have to actually sort of say, OK, I want a secret message this time, and then you have to sort of like click a button. And so a lot of time people will use this and think they're getting total full secret messages service, but they're not, because they haven't sort of chosen to do it. So I think it's better to have an application where you get that as a default thing. I don't know why they don't give the full package as the default method of communications. I have read all of their information about the app on the website, and I think we can trust their system well enough. They haven't given out any information to anybody yet. But as I say, you know, it could happen if the messages are going through and they're not fully, totally protected by the full security protocols that they do have available. It's not a perfect one because of the lack of anonymity. And it does have disappearing messages, so that's something. But yeah, again, you have to have the stealth mode actually sort of started up and being used for that set of messages. So Telegram's okay, but you have to remember to switch over to the secret messaging part of the application. Signal is the application recommended by Edward Snowden, super spy Edward Snowden. And he should know what he's talking about. He takes a lot of care about his information and how it's sort of spread and who's might be following him, who might be sort of looking at what he's doing. And he's paranoid to a certain extent of making sure that his stuff is not being looked at. And he will use Signal. And it has disappearing messages, which can be set for the messages to last between 5 seconds and 1 week. You can verify your contacts by scanning a QR code if you're verifying in person. So if you're standing next to someone, you can say, show me your QR code, and you can hook up. Then you can send messages. It is possible to get around the phone number thing. So if you needed to set up an account with this, what you could do is you could pay an anonymous person to go into a shop and buy you a burner phone. The person in the shop doesn't know who it is. The person doesn't know who it is they're giving the phone to when they've been in the shop and bought it and handed it over to you. You've got a phone number there. You set up the account using that phone number, and directly afterwards you toss the phone, toss the SIM chip that comes with it, and then you've got a secure way of contacting other people anonymously using Signal. But that's just too messing around though. If you can find yourself a messaging service that will give you anonymity. I have looked at Wire, Keybase, WikiMe, Dust, Confide. These are all other secure messaging applications I've looked at and considered, but not really got into. Keybase is good, but it does seem a little bit complicated. It's not completely anonymous. In fact, it likes you to prove who you are by saying, yes, this is my website, or yes, this is my Bitcoin address, or yes, this is my, they did it with the Facebook account before, or yes, this is my Twitter account. So there are things there that would connect you up with something else, and it's not totally anonymous. Wire is okay, but like I say, all of these have their pluses and minuses, and depending on your requirements, any of these could suit your messaging, your secure messaging need. You have to look into them to see which one suits you best. The application, which was my favourite until recently, was Threema. Now, this application ticked most of the boxes for me, and it was as close to perfect for my use. One of the things against it is that it is a paid-for application. It is inexpensive and, in my opinion, well worth the cost to buy in any case. However, there are some people who will not spend money on applications unless they really have to and have their arm twisted behind their back. You could buy it for them. And still they might not want to install it because of whatever reason. You know, some, I'm not putting that on my phone. I don't want to install anything else. I'm getting the space left on the machine. Or there's all sorts of excuses that people might give you. So if it's a paid-for application, then have a think about it, okay? The application doesn't yet have disappearing messages, but apart from that, it's a good answer to all of the security, privacy and anonymity questions. The other thing it doesn't do is to synchronise between devices. So if someone sends you a message to your iPhone, you don't get to see it on your iPad as well. There isn't a desktop application for this, but you can use it via the web by scanning a QR code with your Threema app on your device. It works fairly easy, that does. You just get up the website. It asks you to scan a QR code. So you scan the QR code with your iPhone or iPad, and that connects up your application on your device, and it basically sends it through the browser instead. And I'm sure the browser is HTTPS, so it's going to be fine. It's good. Threema is a top app for security, and you can get around the identity per device by using a hack. Finally, I think I've found the perfect secure messaging app, and it's called Session. It's based upon the Signal protocol, and if you remember, I said Signal is really good. It's a whisper protocol, it's called, and it's recommended by Edward Snowden, Super Spy, remember him? Signal is open source, so it can be verified by anyone who knows what to look for. Anyone who knows anything about code can look into the open source and say whether it's secure or not. It is anonymous. No phone number or email is needed to get an ID on Session. It also strips out metadata, so it will not reveal your location because the IP address is removed as it passes through the Onion router. It does three hops. I just had a look at the application and I can see that the messages I send will go through nodes in Germany and France. And then I looked at another time and it says it was go through two nodes in Germany, one through South Korea. So each time it sort of goes through, it can go through different nodes, and no single node ever knows both the origin and the destination of the message. All the messages are encrypted and can only be decrypted by the private key stored locally on your device. No messages are stored in a blockchain, and the messages are deleted everywhere after a fixed amount of time. The time depends upon the time to live set in the disappearing messages settings. So if you've set the message to disappear after 30 seconds, poof, there it goes. Off into the ether, never to be seen again. Lovely. Or you can set it between, you know, 1 minute or 1 week, 1 day, whatever you want. I think the longest it can be set for is 1 week. Attachments are also end-to-end encrypted, and the Loki service, that's L-O-K-I, this is part of the Loki Foundation, can never see what's in the attachments you've sent. Okay, so the same photos again, metadata is removed, no details of the camera, no location, nothing, just the image. If you set the disappearing messages to 1 minute or less, it's also unlikely anyone will be able to do a screenshot to grab it and send it on to elsewhere. That'd be pretty quick to be able to do a screenshot, so set it for 5 seconds and then they get the message, quick, read it, and then it's gone. You can link devices with Session, up to two devices. I have it set so the two iOS devices are connected, and I have the Session application on the Mac with a different Session ID. This works fine for me. The iOS ID is the one that you would generally use, and the Mac ID will be infrequently used and more as just as a backup ID really. Just in case I needed to, while I was sitting in my Mac and I wanted to send a message off quickly to someone, and I couldn't be bothered to get my phone out. But generally my phone's next to me anyway, so most times I just pick up the phone or the iPad and do it that way. So how do I connect with someone on Session? Well, number one, you can send the ID by a secure channel to your contact. That would be over voice, by a phone call, or by, for example, using WhatsApp or any other app with end-to-end encryption. Let's assume you've already verified that contact within the app, so you know that the person that you're talking to is the person that you want to set up this new ID with. The Session ID is a long 60 characters alphanumeric code. So maybe doing it over the phone is not the best way of doing it, because it's going to be very tedious to read out 60 characters. So probably best using a secure messaging app. Don't send it by email. We've already talked about that. Or the contact can send you their Session ID and you can sort of put it into your contacts, and that way that's going to work just as well. If you're meeting up with someone in person, what you can do is you can get the contact to show you the QR code for their ID, or you can show them your QR code for your ID. Whichever way around you do it, one way or another, it doesn't matter, it'll do the same job. So when a new session starts, you get two options. So you press on the plus button at the bottom of the screen. It's a little green button with a sort of plus symbol in the middle of it. And the two options are one for sharing the ID, which I mentioned, the first way of connecting up with a person. And the second way is to use a QR code. Show your QR code or scan the QR code. And that's all you need to do to get sending text, audio, photos, documents. And there's a 10 megabyte limit on the documents that you can send between each other. For the most part, that's going to be plenty anyway. If it has to be something else bigger than 10 megabytes, then you can do your first bits of contact through Session. And then you say, look, I've got to send you a bit of information. It's going to be, say, 20 megabytes, or it could be 2 gigabytes. You know, it could be a large one. You say, OK, well, I'll tell you what I'll do is I'll set up an end-to-end encrypted document which we can send through Firefox Send. That's a good way of doing it with larger documents, OK? If you've got someone's Session ID and you put it into the Session app, not much is going to happen until the person at the other end accepts that contact. This is a good thing. You shouldn't be able to get an ID from a group or from wherever else and spam that messages to that person willy-nilly. The app is all about privacy after all. It's an application which you can get on various places, on desktop devices, on iOS devices, Android devices. I don't know if there's anything for Linux. There probably is, but you have to check that out for yourself. And I highly recommend it. It is fairly new. Maybe there are a couple of rough edges on there because the versions are at version 1 so far. But the people are working on it. They're getting into it and they're making it better constantly. And you can go into the open sessions for the messaging service and ask questions. There are people there that answer the questions and give information, tell you how to use it. And I think it's a really good application and well worth it. So if you're going out on a protest this weekend, then remember what you should be doing is to turn off that biometric locking device mechanism for your device, for your iPhone or Android device, whatever else. Or better still, don't take your phone with you, but then you won't need the phone if you're going to do some sort of organising, because you've got to be organised so that you know where the police are or where they're not going to be or where you're going to meet up with your friends or whatever else. So if you do have to take your phone with you, then just make sure that it's properly sort of locked up and the police can't get into it, because they will take your phone off you. And if they take your phone off you and you've still got face recognition on there, they've only got to point it at your face and they're in and they can read whatever else. If it's a password that's just in your memory, they cannot force you to tell them what the password is. They cannot do that. You can say, no, I'm not letting you have it. Another possibility that you can do as well is if this thing is, you've got it set so that it will delete everything on the phone if the password is tried to get in there. Someone tries to get in there more than 10 times. So you could say, yeah, the password is 123456, knowing that it isn't. Oh, no, hang on, no, it's 54321. And then you could tell them 10 times and the phone will lock everybody out there. So that's delete everything on the phone. So that's another possibility. It'd be handy sometimes to have some sort of phone where basically what you do is you set it up so that you press a couple of buttons, an emergency button, and it deletes everything anyway. That's another possibility. Use a burner phone. Use a phone that doesn't connect to anybody, but that's a little bit more difficult because phones, they have sort of chips in them, and if you've got to go in there and buy a phone there, it's going to have some sort of link to you because of the way you pay for it. Maybe you can buy it with cash, but maybe you have someone who can give you a good supply of decent burner phones. But the other thing with phones as well is that there is software that the police can use that will basically look at all the phones that are in the area. So it will tell them where people are congregating, because they, right, there's a whole bunch of phones there, people are congregating there, or those people there are sending messages, and I think they're going off to this tower and that tower, and this is where people are. So I know we can't sort of go back to start using pigeons to send messages to each other, and but there are things that you can do with your phone to make sure it's as secure as possible and the police are not going to get in there. Well, I do like law and order. I used to be a policeman. I admit it. I used to be a policeman. I wasn't very good at it. I was in for less than 2 years. And I do have a thing about law and order. But what I've seen on the internet lately with the videos of people have been taking where they've been police that have been arresting people in their own homes. They haven't had a right to do that. There have been police that have been beating people with their batons for no reason whatsoever. They've been hitting them around the head. I mean, they shouldn't even be doing that. They should, if they're going to, they have to hit someone to put them on, get them under control or whatever else. You know, if they have to protect themselves or whatever else, you know, on the legs or the arms, but not on the heads. For goodness sakes! I mean, then there was that 75-year-old man that got pushed over and banged his head, and he got blood coming from his ears. He ended up in hospital in a serious condition because the police didn't care. I mean, they just pushed him over. They were brutal, and then. They didn't look after him. They just walked past him and sort of, they didn't give a monkeys what was going on with this fella, and they could have died. It's not good enough. This is Dave Allen for Good and Geeky, and I've been giving you my thoughts and ideas and my desires to help you get yourself protected and get yourself some secure communications. And if you want to find out more about it, have a look at the website, goodandgeeky.com. There's plenty on there, and I've even got books that you can get. One's called No More Email or something like that. You can all find it all out there. You go to look for books by Wizard Gold or David Allen Wizard Gold on Amazon, and you can find information on how to protect yourself using secure messaging apps and how to protect yourself using email. But bye. Talk to you again soon.